And today we're going to continue on with this note. We're going to talk about the different levels of love. Because in order to worship Allah in His oneness, you have to have love for Him. Those people who associate partners with Allah are people who really don't love Him. Those are people who say they love Allah, but in reality they don't. Again, if a person truly has love of Allah, that means that he will have humility in worshiping Him, and he will have extreme love for Him. That means that that person will have an interest in Allah. He'll have affection for Allah, and he'll have devotion to Him. So in order to worship Allah properly, as He deserves to be worshipped, you have to make sure that you have love for Him. And that love for Allah should supersede any other love that you may have for anyone else. And after Allah, we're supposed to love the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that love for the Prophet Muhammad is supposed to supersede everyone except Allah. So again, when a lot of people take Shahada and they say that they believe La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, they really don't understand what they're saying. They really don't understand what they're testifying to. And many of them actually do not truly believe in this. Allah tells us in the Quran, in the interpretation of the meaning, He says, say, if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your kindred, the wealth that you have gained, the commerce in which you fear a decline, and the dwellings in which you delight are dearer to you than Allah and His Messenger, and striving hard and fighting in His cause, then wait until Allah brings about His torment. And Allah guides not the rebellious folk. And here in this beautiful, fearful ayat of warning, or verse of warning, Allah is telling us, anyone who takes the love of their father or their mothers or their wealth or their jobs or anything, their children or anything, and put it over Allah, then you just sit back and watch how Allah will bring His punishment to you. Again, we should not love anyone more than Allah and His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And love for Allah and love for His Prophet brings about obedience. A lot of people ask the question, how is it that a person can just outright disobey Allah? How is it that a person can sit around and do things knowing that they are wrong, but they say, I don't care, and still do them? It's because they have no love for Allah. They have no love for His Prophet. How is it that I can sit here on this internet every day and answer questions about Islam? You can come to me and ask me, what did the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say about something? And I tell you what he said. And then you come back and tell me, well, Imam so-and-so said something else, so I'm going to listen to what he had to say instead of what the Prophet said. What makes a person do this is because they have no love for the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll give you a prime example. Ramadan. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said anyone who sees the moon who is reliable, when they come to you telling you they've seen the moon, then Ramadan begins. So all those people who love the Prophet, they began Ramadan Sunday. They fasted on Sunday. The people who love the Prophet Muhammad fasted on Sunday because they remember that the Prophet said, anytime one reliable person comes to you telling you they've seen the moon, then you fast. So why is it that we had a bunch of people fast on Monday? Some people didn't even fast till Tuesday or Wednesday. It's because they don't love Allah and they don't love His Prophet. They say they do, But in reality, they don't, because if they did, they would never ever sit there and disobey the Prophet Muhammad and take what somebody else says over the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we need to work on this, and we need to understand as Muslims, guys, that we are supposed to love Allah and His Prophet above anything else. Above your mother, your children, your husband, your wife, your scholar, your sheikh, your imam, your money, your job. Nothing is supposed to come between your love for Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now that brings us to a question that many people ask. They say, okay, I understand that I'm supposed to love Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anything. And I thought I did. But in reality, I guess I didn't. Because I'm blindly following other people. Or I'm deliberately disobeying them. So what can I do to help develop this love for Allah? What can I do to increase my closeness to Allah? What can I do to establish a relationship with Allah? This is a question that many people ask. Well, Ibn al-Qayyim, who is one of the greatest scholars of all time, he wrote a paper about things that we can do that as a result will help bring us closer to Allah and will help us develop our love for Allah. There are 10 things we can do. And what we're going to do right now is discuss what those 10 things are that we can work on developing that will, inshallah, help to bring us closer to Allah and will help to develop this love for Him that we're supposed to have, which supersedes anything else. First of all, one of the things that we can do to help develop our relationship with Allah and make us become closer to Him and make us develop love for Him is to read the Quran and ponder its meanings. Okay? This doesn't just mean picking up the Quran, reading it in Arabic when Arabic is not your native tongue. When you in reality do not even understand what it is you're saying, you're just sounding out beautiful sounds. What this means is that you think about what it is you're saying. Look at the transliteration. Read the transliteration so you can get an idea as to what Allah is trying to convey to you. Because by understanding and pondering the meaning of what Allah says, this will help to develop fear of Allah in your heart, and it will also help to develop love for Allah, and in turn it will bring you closer to Him. Another thing that we can do to help develop our relationship with Allah and get close to Him and love Him and in turn have Him love us is to perform voluntary deeds. For example, everybody here should know that in order to be a Muslim, all you have to do is pray just 5 times a day. The only salat that we have to make as Muslims is Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, and Isha. That's it. You don't have to pray any other prayers ever again in your life. Okay? Also, the only time we have to fast as Muslims is during the month of Ramadan. So a lot of people will ask, okay, well, since we only have to pray 5 times a day, and since we only have to fast during the month of Ramadan, why do we make witr prayer? Why do we do these sunnah salats? Why do we do these extra salats if we don't have to? And if we only have to fast during the month of Ramadan, then why do we fast those days afterwards in the month of Shawwal? And why do we try to fast 3 days out the month? Why do we fast on Mondays and Tuesdays? Well, the reason why is simple. We do these things to try to get closer to Allah. Because Allah tells us, Allah says, my servant, continue to get close to me by performing voluntary deeds until I love them. So the purpose of us praying witr prayer and praying tarawiyah and making a sunnah salat is to get closer to Allah, to help develop this love for Him and in turn have Him love us. The reason why we fast 3 days out the month is because we're trying to get closer to Allah. So this is another way of developing a relationship with Allah and culturing your love for Him. It's by doing extra voluntary deeds. Another thing that we can do to develop our love for Allah is to continuously remember Him under all circumstances, with our tongue, our heart, and through our actions. We should always keep Allah foremost on our mind. This is why we make dua. This is why we say Allahu Akbar, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. We do these things because, again, we're trying to keep Allah foremost on our mind. And by doing this, by doing these deeds to remember Him, it helps us to develop a love for Him, and it brings us closer to Him. Another thing that we can do to help develop our love for Allah is to give precedence to what He loves over what we love, even if it means giving up our own hidden desires. For example, you may not like to stay up late at night, okay? But you remember how Allah says that He comes down to the lowest heaven every night and He asks, who is it that has a dua or a dua that He would like for Him to answer? So even though you don't like getting up late at night, you'll get up, you'll wake up just so you can do this because you know that Allah loves this. Okay, so this is another way of developing our love and our relationship with Allah, is by giving precedence to the things that He loves over things that we don't love. Another thing we can do to help develop our relationship with Allah is to constantly think of His names and His attributes. A lot of people will ask the question, what is the benefits? What are some of the benefits of memorizing Allah's names and attributes? Well, one of the main benefits is this will help you to develop love for Allah. This will help you to develop fear of His punishment, and it will bring you closer to Him. So this is another thing that we can do to develop our love for Allah. Also, we should pay attention to the kindness and the goodness and the bounties that Allah has given us. No matter how down life may seem to be to you, you should always reflect on the blessings Allah has given you. Least you're still living. Least you still living because least as long as you are living, you still have a chance to be forgiven for your sins, as opposed to a person whose life was suddenly taken away from them. So we need to observe Allah's goodness and His bounties and His blessings, both hidden and open. And by doing this, this will help you to develop a love and attachment to Him. Another thing that we can do is to be alone with Allah during the time that He comes down to the lowest heaven of the night. And I just mentioned that earlier. Every night Allah comes down to the lowest heaven and he asks, which of my servants has a request of me? Which of my servants is seeking forgiveness? And if you pray to Allah and ask from Allah at this time, he will listen and grant you your prayers. So simply by staying up late at night in the last part of the night, talking to Allah, doing acts of remembrance of Allah, this will help you to develop love for him. And I am always trying to tell you guys that we have to get out of this habit. So many of us have become Muslims, but we brought the baggage of Christianity with us. One thing about the Christians that makes me sick to my stomach, they're always telling people to pray for them. They're always saying, oh, let's pray for each other. They never know how to establish their own relationship with Allah. They think they have to go and confess their sins to someone. They're always going asking their priests to pray for them. We need to leave this baggage outside of Islam, because the Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet, they didn't go around asking each other to pray for them. The only person they asked to pray for them was the Prophet Muhammad, because he was a prophet. But they made sure they established their own relationship with Allah, their own ibadah. They used to go and talk to Allah, and that's what we need to do. So many of us, we're so used to saying, let's pray for each other. Go pray for yourself. Nobody understands your situation better than you do. Establish your own relationship with Allah. Talk to him. Allah says he loves for those of us who come to him seeking his help. The two people whom Allah loves more than any other people is a person who repents, comes to him seeking repentance for their sins, and a person who keeps himself clean. Go talk to Allah. Establish a relationship with him. Make dua for yourself. Pray for yourself. Instead of bringing that baggage, that leftover baggage from Christianity here. We're Muslims. Let's start acting like Muslims. Let's start behaving like Muslims. Let's start following the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and leave the sunnah of the Christians alone. Okay? Another thing that we can do to help develop our love for Allah is to sit with beloved and sincere righteous people. I am always telling you guys here at this website how you need to be careful with whom you surround yourself with. You need to be careful with whom you allow to get close to you. Okay? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are who you associate with. If you're associating with a bunch of kafirs, hello, what does that mean that you are? If you're associating with a bunch of hypocrites, what do you think you are? We got so many Muslims who are spending 90% of their time with the kafir, arguing with them, debating with them, allowing them to confuse them. Instead of sitting around spending 90% of your time with kafirs, go to a mosque. Surround yourself with some Muslims so you can learn about your religion, because the average Muslim has no true knowledge or understanding of his religion. These people who spend their time on the internet in these chat rooms arguing with the kafir, look what they do. They end up becoming confused, and they end up running to me and my question board asking me how can they answer this question that some kafir told them. First of all, you had no business with them anyway. The prophet said, surround yourself with righteous people, not kafirs and not hypocrites. And how can you call yourself giving dawah to anybody when you are ignorant of your religion yourself? Dawah begins at home with you. And true dawah is from your actions, not from your tongue. You don't need to waste your time on the internet arguing with a bunch of heathens who ain't even interested in you or your religion. Their only objective is to do exactly what they're doing, confuse you and make you question your faith. And we wonder why we don't have love for Allah. We wonder why is it that we say we love Allah, but in reality we don't. Surround yourself with righteous people and benefit from them. Learn from them. Benefit from their strength. And that's how you become closer to Allah, and that's how you develop love for Allah. And finally, another thing that we can do to help develop our relationship with Allah and strengthen our love for Him is to stay away from those things that come between your heart and Allah. For example, if hanging around with kafirs causes you to question your religion, what are you doing around them? If listening to music, by the way, music is haram, it stirs up these emotions in your heart. It makes you think about how lonely you are, how you need a man, how you wish you had somebody to hold you. Then what are you doing listening to that music? This is why music is haram. If being around a certain individual causes you to backbite and slander others and become suspicious and envious of others, then what are you doing around that person? Again, surround yourself with righteous people. So these are things that we can do to help develop our relationship with Allah and help to bring us closer to Him and help us to develop love for Him. Because again, there are so many people here who say they love Allah, but in reality they don't. And as soon as Allah sends you a test, they fail it. They failed their first test. Because Allah says He's going to test us. He's going to test you for those things you care about the most. He'll put you through the test. He'll test you with your children. He may take one of your beloved children. One day, one of your beloved children may come home to you and say, hey, mom, guess what? I'm pregnant. I'm pregnant by a kafir boy, and I love him, and I'm going to have his baby, and I'm going to stay with him. I believe in Allah, but I ain't ready for that stuff right now. I think I need to be young and live my life. I mean, my religion is in my heart. Allah may test you with that. What you gonna do? Are you gonna sit there and say, okay, baby, it's okay. I understand. I'll be here to support you. Or are you gonna tell that little heifer, look, you can get up out of my house then. You can just leave then. Don't think that you won't be tested, because Allah will indeed test us through those things we care about the most. You love your husband? Allah may test you. One day your husband may come home and tell you, guess what, wife? I decided that I am going to utilize my rights. Allah says I have a right to have 2, 3, or 4. So guess what, wife? I'm getting ready to marry another woman. So what are you going to do? Okay? So don't think that Allah will not test you. You may have all the money in the world today. Allah can take it away tomorrow. You may love your job. Allah may take that away from you too. So again, do not think that you will not be tested. And I'm telling you guys, so many of us flunk the test. So many of us, when given the test from Allah, we fail it. Instead of showing our love for Allah, we end up choosing that other thing. And we thus flunk it. Just like so many people failed the test this Ramadan. So many Muslims failed the first test. That test is, the Prophet said one person seeing the moon was enough. But you heard your imam told you that he's going to fast on Monday. So what did you do? You chose your imam over what the Prophet said. So guess what? You failed your test. You failed. And I'm going to tell you something else too, guys, about this. Because I've heard this comment made here at this website, and this is incorrect. If somebody comes to you, if your imam tells you something which is in total contradiction to what Allah or His Prophet said, you don't follow your imam. You don't obey him. You follow what Allah and His Prophet said. So anybody who's sitting up telling you that you can disobey what the Prophet said and the responsibility of be on your imam, this is a person who has no true understanding of this religion. Because that's what we call blindly following someone. That's considered shirk. And that's the same mistake that, again, the Christians made. The Christians used to be Allah's chosen people, but they're not anymore. The Jews used to be Allah's chosen people, but they're not anymore. The reason being because they took the words of their rabbis and their priests and their scholars. They took their words over Allah's. They allowed their rabbis, their priests, and their scholars to make lawful for them things that Allah made haram. And we got Muslims doing the same thing, imitating these Christians, sitting around telling you it's okay for you to obey your imam and disobey Allah. This is a lie. And anybody who tells you that is a person who has no true knowledge or understanding of Islam. And that is not a person who truly follows the Sunnah and believes in it. Because no one who does would tell you any nonsense like that. You don't go against Allah and His Prophet for anyone. Anyone. Okay? So we're going to stop right here for today. And this is a lot that I want you guys to think about. I want you guys to think about how much do you truly love Allah? Okay? Do you love Him more than you do yourself, your children? And how much do you love His Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So we'll stop right here for today. And then tomorrow we'll continue by talking about the different rights that Allah has over on us. So if you guys have any questions, inshallah, go ahead and ask them.